Summer Breakfast with Sam Edmund and Kane Corns.
It is Josh Jenkins in for Sammy Edmund. Time now to check in with our SEN tennis expert and host of the First Serve. It is the eve of the summer tennis season, always an exciting time of the year. Brett Phillips is his name. BP, good to chat again, mate.
Kane, Josh, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, mate.
What are the storylines to watch in the lead-up to what is going to be a pretty exciting back-to-normal summer of tennis?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the calendar in front of me. It's a packed spreadsheet as I'm planning January, Kane, at the moment. I mean, obviously, I suppose from a normal point of view, we're going to have Novak Djokovic back, which does make it feel normal. A man that's obviously owned that Melbourne Park precinct, winning 9 Australian Opens, and he's going to be in Adelaide, Kane, in your neck of the woods, to start the summer. I mean, it's a bumper field for Adelaide, actually, with back-to-back Adelaide internationals. They've recruited a good field of players, those that are not playing in the United Cup, which is obviously going to be the new tournament, men and women combined, replacing the ATP Cup spread across Australia. So wherever you are around Australia listening to SEN this morning, you're probably going to have some tennis in your own backyard somewhere, which is the great part about the Australian summer. But yeah, I mean, Djokovic back, he looks cherry ripe. He's finished the season exceptionally well. If he had played a full calendar last year, he probably still would be technically the world number one. Obviously, he slipped a few rungs. And Carlos Alcaraz is the interesting one. I mean, we've got a 19-year-old world number one who's had an incredible year. He's finished the year a little bit banged up physically. We're hoping he'll be cherry ripe for the summer, but there's just a little query on Alcaraz at the moment. So, yeah, look, it's going to be exciting. I mean, the women are led by Iga Swiatek. She is, what, about 3 lengths clear? You know, she's well clear of the field in women's tennis. It's going to take some stopping of Iga. She's at 6,000 points clear in the rankings, so the rest have got a fair bit of work to do.
What do you make of Australia's Davis Cup performance? Pretty impressive without Australia's best player, Nick Kyrgios. In previous times, this would have dominated the headlines, BP. I hardly saw it rate a mention in sports headlines. I know they went down, but how far has Davis Cup and the prestige of it slipped?
Yeah, it's a continued talking point, Kane, for those of us that are pretty passionate about tennis. I mean, look, probably going up against the World Cup, you know, doesn't help. Obviously, if it's always going to be in Europe from now on, which looks like it's going to be the case, then it's never going to be in a overly friendly time zone for us here in Australia. But for those that did sit up through the wee hours, Australia were terrific. They put everything on the line in the Davis Cup. You'd expect nothing less, led by Leighton. I mean, he had some guys in there who will bleed for him. You know, Demonor and Thompson and, you know, Max Purcell stepped up. You know, Kokkinakis, unfortunately, didn't get to play his part. I mean, he hardly played any tennis in the second half of the season, so he wasn't really in that match conditioning that you need for Davis Cup. But if you had had Nick Kyrgios, there's a fair argument to say Australia probably would have won it. But his heart is not with the Australian Davis Cup team. He hasn't played Davis Cup for 3 years. That's his choice. It's frustrating, no doubt, for the Australian hierarchy, but not everyone puts Davis Cup on that pedestal in the same manner. So whether he ever comes back to play Davis Cup, I don't know. And people have always said to me, Kane, that there's no feud between Leighton Hewitt and Nick Kyrgios. I debated that on our show a year or two ago and got howled down. I still don't think it's warm brotherly love between the two.
No, because he was asked about that. I mean, there was reports coming through that Leighton tried desperately to convince him to play. He was asked about that after the tournament, and all he said was he sort of shrugged his shoulders and said, "You'd have to ask him." Doesn't sound that cordial.
No. And he's, you know, and look, this week Nick's in Saudi Arabia, which is a sort of a controversial exhibition tournament in itself, with, you know, obviously the human rights issues in that country. But, you know, players like Nick are going there and pocketing six figures for rocking up for a few days. So he's elected to do that. He'll always go to the beat of his own drum. We know that. We're used to that by now. How will 2023 look for Nick Kyrgios? I dare to predict too far forward. Obviously, this year's been a big step in the right direction. He has no doubt knuckled down. His results were pretty good. He's got a stable off-court life, which obviously helps. And, you know, there's a window there. I mean, men's tennis, look, it's brutal. When you've got Djokovic back, you've got, you know, Alcaraz and this new Holger Rune. Watch out for him, the young boy from Denmark inside the top 10. These guys are working their butts off day in, day out to be the best. So, you know, Nick's going to have to start all over again, roll the sleeves up and let's see if he has possibly a window to maybe, you know, go deep again.
BP, I want to circle back to Carlos Alcaraz, because for as long as I've been alive, basically, we've been seeing an Australian summer of tennis, and it's been Federer, or it's been Djokovic, or it's been Nadal coming out as the top player in the world. So that our listeners aren't shocked when we see a 19-year-old as the world number one. Just what type of player is this young man?
Well, he typifies the modern player, Josh. He's physical. I mean, this game has never been more physical. Men's tennis, the level of conditioning you've got to be at to play five, you know, brutal sets of tennis. And he played some brutal matches. We think back to he and Jannik Sinner, you know, at the US Open back a few months ago. I mean, that was incredible. You felt exhausted watching it. How do these guys go to the wire and go to the ringer like they do? So he's built his body between the age of, you know, I first saw him 14, 15 when he was emerging on the ITS, and you just look at the physical growth, you know, the lower core, you know, it's that Nadal sort of physicality. He's worked so hard to be an absolute beast out on the court that he never thinks he can't lose. He's got an incredible mentality. He's guided by Juan Carlos Ferrero, who played, won a Grand Slam. He just eats, lives, and breathes tennis. And look, if you don't get to the Australian Open, here's a little plug for the Kooyong Classic, the spiritual home of Australian tennis, which is coming back this year. He is going to be there, Carlos, along with Alex de Minaur, in that little intimate setting of Kooyong. Get along and watch him, because he'll take your breath away.
We're all pumped up for it, BP. You'll be at the forefront of it. Thanks for the preview for us, and we'll chat to you regularly throughout the summer.
Yeah, pleasure, guys. Thank you.